Before we jump into our sugya of Shmura Matzah, I just wanted to a quick idea on the parsha. You know, we weren't in shul today this week, but the parsha starts off Vayakel Moshe et kol adat bnei Yisrael. Moshe gathers together Vayikahel. He gathers from the lashon of kahal, congregates. Et kol adat bnei Yisrael, the entire congregation of bnei Yisrael, which is it's a little bit funny this pasuk because he you could have just left out et kol adat bnei Yisrael. You could have just said vayakel Moshe et kol bnei Yisrael. What does it mean that he congregated the congregation of bnei Yisrael? Are they if they're already congregated as an edah? So what's the vayakel that he congregated? It seems superfluous this lashon of edah. So I saw in the Malbim elsewhere the difference between what a kahal and an edah is. An edah, the Malbim explains, is when you have a group of people together, a congregation, but that congregation is built with in a systematic kind of way, with organized, where there's levels, there's hierarchies, and it's coming together to create a functioning congregation. Which is not the case with a kahal. A kahal is a congregation of individuals, not necessarily through hierarchy, through a system of need, but they're coming together as individuals to go ahead and unify. And the truth is, if you look throughout Tanakh, you see whenever vayikahel appears, it's usually people coming together for, you know, for a war, some type of uprising, or some type of just a sudden gathering of people, not necessarily like an edah, where you have a system of who's on top, who's on bottom of structure. If we take the idea of the Malbim and we kind of apply it to these psukim, I think something really beautiful is being said that we can actually apply to what's happening nowadays. This pasuk is really an intro to what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell Am Yisrael about Shabbat. In the middle of the instructions to go ahead and create the Mishkan, we have Moshe gathering the Eidah of Bnei Yisrael, and he says, listen, 6 days, don't do any work, and then on Shabbat, you should rest. And then it goes back into discussion of the Mishkan. With the Mishkan, it's a meeting place with us and Hashem, but many times in our lives, our social interactions are those of an Eidah, this is where my clique is. This is where I go to work. This is my boss. We have a whole structure, and that social structure is based on functioning. And the same thing was within the Mishkan. The Mishkan, you had the Kohanim, you had the Leviim, and in Judaism in general, you have lots of structure. You have a Beit Din, you have the Rabbanim, you have all these structures. And at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu, before, as he's introducing Shabbat, he's saying, listen, the Eidah, the congregation of hierarchies, I want it to dissolve, right? We need to go ahead and we need to become a kihila. Vayikahel Moshe et kol adat. Break down the Eidah and become a kihila, because what Shabbat is all about is unifying Am Yisrael. It's not about the Kohanim. It's not about the Leviim. It's not about who does what. It's about individuals coming together and forming a kahal. This whole Corona thing kind of just threw everybody out of their own social norm and their social Eidah. Of what they're used to, of how they communicate with their friends, with their family, their normal day of walking in the streets or walking in their business or wherever they are, or their kids' lives. Everything has been thrown out of its Eidah. And what it's given us an opportunity, I'm not saying this is the reason it happened, I'm not one to say such a thing, but what has definitely given us an opportunity is to reevaluate what our social interactions are. You know, a person can be surrounded by tens of hundreds of people, and you can still feel all alone because the connections aren't real. They're just that of, you know, this is what I'm normally used to. This is the person I normally see. This is what's comfortable. But now that Eidah, our normal lives of communication have been disrupted, we have the opportunity to become a kahal, to really connect on a deeper level. And we should be zocha at this time. I think it's kind of ironic that as the first quarantine kind of self-isolation hits Toronto, it's the parsha of Vayakel Moshe et Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael. We should be zocha to unify on deeper levels of that of a kahal. Okay, with that, let us begin our delving into the mitzvah of Shmura Matzah. Just kind of an outline, Shmura Matzah, as we know, is a unique mitzvah of of for the matzah, which applies on the basic, most basic level on the night of Leil Seder. What I wanted to do today with the time that we have is kind of build two types of paradigms or understandings of what the mitzvah of Shmura Matzah is, and then we'll see how that applies to Pesach, but more to our lives in general. So for those of you who have the source sheet, source number one is really where the sugya begins. And the pasuk says in Shemot, "V'shamartem et ha-matzot ki be'etzem ha-yom hazeh hotziti et tzvotechem me'eret Mitzrayim, u'shmartem et ha-yom hazeh ledorotechem chukat olam." Hashem tells us that we need to go ahead and we need to watch the matzot, some type of "V'shamartem et ha-matzot," guard the matzot. "For on this day I've taken your legions out of the land of Egypt, and you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting statute." So what does it mean, v'shamartem et ha-matzot? What guarding do we have to do for these matzot? So really there are two understandings that we're going to see already from the Gemara, but based flowing throughout to the Rishonim as well. So first, the Mechilta of Tanaic source, in source number two, "V'shamartem et ha-matzot." What does that mean? "Shamru ad shelo taviu leidei psul." You have to go ahead and you have to guard them, you have to watch them, lest they come, so they don't come to be disqualified. What is that shimur? What type of guarding do I have to do so they don't have to become disqualified? So the Mechilta doesn't necessarily, it doesn't say. But we do learn, here is the famous midrash which says, Rav Yushia Omer, Al-Tikri Kain, don't read it as "V'shamartem et ha-matzot," ela "V'shamartem et ha-mitzvot." You should guard the mitzvot, not the matzot, but the mitzvot. It's a little bit of a drush on the pasuk. What does that mean? "K'derech she'ein machmitzin et ha-matzah, kach ein machmitzin et ha-mitzvah. Ela im ba mitzvah liyadcha, aseh ota miyad." Just like you have to watch, you have to be careful with the matzot that it doesn't come to leaven. It doesn't come to be sour. So too with your mitzvot, you have to be very careful and rush to do them so it doesn't come to be sour, it doesn't come to leaven. That's in terms of the drush. We'll leave that for now. What we do care about for our sugya is the idea that you have to do some type of shmira, some type of guarding the matzot, so it does not come to a psul. The source, I guess, of the halachic source of where this idea of shmura matzah, that you need to spend an arm and a leg for shmura matzah, really comes from the sugya in Psachim and Daf Mem in source number three. So interesting there. There's actually a very practical sugya about. It actually starts with Letita. Letita was a process they used to do they would soak the grains a little bit before they would make it into flour, and this would soften the outer shaft of the bran from the grains so that it would separate more easily, and you're able to make finer flour with it. It was considered higher quality. So the Gemara says, it starts off, it says, "Tan Rabbanan ein lo tetin su'arim bePesach." You are not allowed to go ahead and do this letita process, this softening process with the water on Pesach. "V'im letat nitpku'u asurot lo nitpku'u mutarot." So if you did it, so if the grains had some type of sign that they went through a fermentation process, they started to crack, so then those grains are prohibited. We have to be concerned that it's chametz. But if they didn't, so then it's permissible. All that this is talking about before on Pesach itself. There's a whole discussion if you should do this or you should not do this for your matzah. So at the end, the conclusion of the Gemara, we're skipping down in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava." Rava in fact says, "No, it is a mitzvah l'tot. You have to go ahead. It's mitzvah to go ahead and do this latita process to soak the grains. Why?" Because the pasuk says, "Shne'emar v'shamartem et ha-matzot." You have to go ahead and guard the matzot. "I lo diboi letita." If you didn't need to go ahead and do this soaking process, so shimer lamai. What exactly are you guarding? There has to be some type of putting the grains in some type of situation which would then requires you to do something. So ishimer delisha. If you're guarding your dough only from the time of kneading, so that's not shimur. That's not called shimur. How do I know? And this is a very famous Gemara. The Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, "B'tzeikot shel nachrim adam emalei kriso mehen ubavad sheyachol kezayit matzah b'achrona." It's Pesach. And you have all this dough that from a local non-Jew. And he just says, here's a lot of the dough. So Rav Huna says, you're allowed to eat that dough on Pesach, assuming that you know it's not chametz. Right? If you're concerned it's chametz, you're not allowed to. You know that this dough is not chametz. So Rav Huna says, you're allowed to eat from it on Pesach. It's all good. However, you have to make sure, you have to go ahead and make sure that you have a kazayit of matzah, the special matzah ba'achrona. Namely, the matzah that or the dough that you got from Rav Huna, from these goyim that Rav Huna talks about, you're not going to fulfill your mitzvah of Leil Seder, your mitzvah of matzah with this dough, even though you know it's not chametz. Rather, you need a special kazayit for the matzah achrona, what you have in Leil Seder. So the Gemara says, the Gemara learns from this, ba'achrona in birishona lo. You fulfill your mitzvah of matzah with this last kezayit that you have, but not with the batzeikot, not with the dough that you took from the goyim. So my time, why don't you fulfill your obligation with this dough that you took from the goyim? Mishum de lo avid beheshimor. So Rava learns from this, it must be because there was no shimur on it. Right, this wasn't special dough. This wasn't matzah shmura. This was regular matzah that you have. In regular matzah, you're not going to fulfill your obligation of the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Seder. The Gemara goes through a whole back and forth trying to refute Rava, but Rava, in the end, he does not stand down. Even after all the rebuttals, the Gemara tries to reject Rava. He says no. He doesn't stand down. Rava basically says to those people who are cutting the stalks to make their matzah, to make the flour for matzah, he says you should cut them, you should bind them together, and you should do it neshum mitzvah. You should do it for the sake of the mitzvah. So therefore, we see that Rava holds that you have this. There's an idea that you need shimur. You need to have something what's called shimur lishma. It has to be for the sake of matzah, the sake of mitzvah, as we say. If anybody here has ever made their own matzah or been to a matzah factory, they say, L'shem mitzvahs matzah, L'shem mitzvahs matzah. So this idea comes from Rava. Rava says that you need all the way from the beginning, from the mikara, all the way from your harvesting, it has to be for L'shem mitzvah matzah. So if I were to ask you, what is this idea of shimur? What guarding do I need to do? I don't know, is this an open forum? What guarding do I need to do for this matzah? So most of us are familiar with the idea that it has to be lishma. It has to be for the sake of the mitzvah. That this matzah, all the way from the time of harvesting, I need to do it with the intent of the mitzvah. And this is actually an idea that we have in other areas of halacha. We have this by tzitzit. Tzitzit have to be made with the intent that they are for tzitzit. So therefore, when a person is making tzitzit, they say the shem kedushas mitzvah tzitzit, the tying of the knots that they do is for the sake of tzitzit. Similarly, we have an idea of somebody who's making a sukkah. Sukkah, he's making it before 30 days of the chag. So it's a kosher sukkah so long as he does it for the sake of that it's for a sukkah. Namely, I have to go ahead and I have to elevate the action. I have to have special intent that it's for the mitzvah. This matzah is now going to be for the mitzvah. And that will make it then kosher for the mitzvah. Special intent is needed. That idea this is true for all mitzvot. It is nice for all mitzvot, but the truth is that you don't need, when you're doing something, you don't need special necessarily. I'm a chloket if you need a kavana. Kavan on the shame mitzvah, we pass in the chachila, yes, but b'di'eved, not so. But here we're talking about a special, not even while you're doing the mitzvah, right? This is what we call a hechsher mitzvah. I'm making the matzah for the sake of eating the matzah later, right? We're not talking about eating the matzah on Leil Seder that I need to have intent that I'm here now fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. This is, you know, months before. Right? I'm now in September and I'm making my matzah. I have actually no idea when they make the matzah, but I'm months before, and I have to have intent while I'm making the matzah so that it should be kosher for the mitzvah. Okay. So this idea that it's l'shem mitzvah We see already in Rashi, I apologize, we were going to jump to source number 6. Rashi, we'll say it outside just in terms of time, Rashi says that the Shem Mitzvah that Rabbah was talking about has to be the Shem Mitzvah. Let's read Rashi in source number 6 inside, Rashi commenting on that Gemara, Shechel Kazayit Matzah Bachrona, you have to eat a Kazayit of this special matzah in the last, at the Seder, the Bahal Lo Nafik Yidei Chovat Matzah, because with the first matzah that wasn't lishma, it has to be you weren't yotze. Mishum de lo havi leshimor the shem matzah. It wasn't for the sake of the matzah. Be'apal pi she'anu ro'in she'ein kan chimut. Even though we know there's no chametz, obviously there's no chametz here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to eat it at all on Pesach. Miu le matzah shel mitzvah for the matzah that you're going to have for the sake of the mitzvah on the seder night. Shimor lishma be'inan. It needs to be with a special lishma, with guarding it for the sake of the mitzvah. So that's the first idea that we see of having it for the sake of the mitzvah. And the truth is, we see this idea most reflected in a parallel sugya. In source number 4, the Mishnah talks about chalot, which was basically matzah, that they would a nazir would make. The nazir would have to bring a thanks offering, a todah. And the Mishnah there in source number 4 says, Chalos v'toda rekike nazir, if these matzos that the nazir would prepare for his offering, asa an la'atzmo en yotzin behem. If he made it for himself, we're going to see in a second what that means, he cannot use it en yotzin behem. He will not fulfill his mitzvah with them. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains in source number 5, Mahanimili, where you know that the matzah he's not yotze. So Rabbah says from the verse, "Mishmartem et hamatzah, mishmartem the shem matzah." Yasa does the shem mishmartem the shem matzah el the shem zevach. So Rabbah says that you learned from "Mishmartem et hamatzot" that it has to be for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Seder on Pesach. And not for the shem zevach, not for the matzah that you use for a different mitzvah, for bringing an offering of the nazir. So here it seems almost explicit that the idea of the shem matzah is it has to be the intent for the mitzvah of matzah. The chalot, the todah offering that the nazir would bring was also, it wasn't chametz, it was just he has to have the intent. What am I using this matzah for? Am I using it for a zevach offering? Am I using it for todah, or am I using it for matzah of Pesach? And here, Rabbah seems pretty clear that it has to be for the sake of the mitzvah. I have to have intent which mitzvah I'm doing. This idea of lishma for the sake of the mitzvah was a big brought a big machloket in terms of the idea of machine matzah in the 1800s, 1850s. When they started making machine matzah, so there was at the beginning actually it was accepted, but then there were certain poskim, the Garebi and others who came out against it, and at least today one of the reasons not that people are against shmor matzah, against machine matzah is this whole idea of the shema, because if I need to have special intent for the matzah to be for the sake of the mitzvah. So can a machine have intent? If the machine is going ahead and making the matzah, so how does the machine have intent? But it's not just machines. Can a non-Jew or a katan, someone under the age of bar bat mitzvah, can they go ahead and make the matzah and have intent? So a non-Jew can't go ahead and have intent and make my matzah into something. A katan can't necessarily do that. So they wouldn't be able necessarily to go ahead and make the matzah for me. What about a machine? If a Jew is pressing the button on the machine, is that called intent? And this machloka we also already have with tzitzis strings, and it's a discussion. It's a discussion if that's considered intent or not. But if that's what intent means, so then we might have a problem, or there might be reason to go ahead and be hesitant to go ahead and take the machine matzah, machine shmura matzah, versus handmade old-fashioned matzah. Okay, so that's the first paradigm of what lishma means. Lishma here meaning that has to be for the sake of matzah. I have to have the mitzvah's matzah. They have to have the intent for that it's going to be used for the mitzvah on Leil Seder. However, the simple pshat of the Gemara in source number 3 in Psachim that we read about Rava doesn't actually seem to be like Rashi says. It doesn't seem to be that it's for the sake of the mitzvah. Rather, as we see in the Rif, the Beit Midrash of the Rif and the Rambam, it's not for the sake of the mitzvah. Rather, let's see what the Rif says in source number 8. The Rif says as such, a person needs to go ahead regarding the flour for Pesach, already from the time of the harvest, he has to go ahead and guard them because it says you have to guard the matzah. And Rava says to the people who are going out and cutting the grains already at the beginning, he says, already have intent. And what does this mean? Leshum matzah klomar hizur bahen shelo yavo aleihem mayim. You have to go ahead and make sure they don't come in contact with water. Why water? Why should they come in contact with water? What's the concern if they come in contact with water? Now everyone's muted, but I'm sure you're all that's saying to yourselves that it's chametz, right? You have to be extra careful. It doesn't come into contact with water because of chametz. And the Rambam says this explicitly. The Rambam in source number 9 in Hilchot Chametz Matzah says, we'll read it in English, a dish that was cooked and barley or wheat were discovered inside. If the grains were cracked open, then the entire dish is forbidden. If it wasn't, then you throw out the cracked grain and you can eat the dish. But all this, and he says, all this is just a concern, as it says, v'shamartem et ha-matzot. What does it mean, v'shamartem et ha-matzot? Klomar, hizu b'matza, v'shamru oto mikol tzad chimutz. You have to be extra stringent when it comes to the matzah, that it doesn't come to become chametz. Okay, so this would be paradigm number 2, that the idea of shimor is not this meta halachic idea that you have to infuse it with this lishma, l'shem matzah, for the mitzvah. Rather, it's that it's l'shem matzah, namely, that it doesn't become chametz. It's l'shem matzah and not l'shem chametz. So already at the beginning, you have to take extra precautions, already from the time of harvesting, that it doesn't come in any contact with water, to make sure it doesn't become chametz. If that's the case, so would a non-Jew be able to go ahead and do the shimur, make sure that there's no chimutz, it doesn't come in contact with water? Sure, absolutely. If you can trust him, then go ahead, a katan, sure, absolutely, there's no added intent, it's just basically a technical issue. You have to make sure that there's no, it doesn't come to be chametz. The truth is, you'll see this with the Rif. The Rif says in the Girsa, the Rif says, is it when Rava, jump back to the Gemara, in source number 3, there are two different Girsas floating around, two different texts. What did Rava say to the people who are cutting the stalks? He said, "Hipchu l'shem matzah or l'shem mitzvah." So they're actually two gersos in the Rishonim. There's two different texts in the Rishonim. If you say that he was telling them, you have to go ahead and you have to bind it l'shem mitzvah, so then that sounds like the first paradigm. That sounds like it has to be for the intent of the mitzvah, that it should be on this high spiritual level. We should infuse it with for a specific mitzvah of Leil Seder. The other girsa is hipchu l'shem matzah, for the intent of matzah, which means just make sure that it becomes matzah and not chametz. So that possibly the two different approaches or paradigms of what it means l'shma could be tied to this idea, or the two different girsas of l'shem mitzvah or l'shem matzah, which is kind of funny because nowadays what do they say? They cover all bases. They say l'shem mitzvahs matzah, not l'shem matzah or l'shem mitzvah. Some people we'll say both, so the shame mitzvahs matzah, and therefore for having covering both cases. If that's the case, let's go back to our discussion about a machine matzah versus handmade. If it's lishma, so then lishma l'shem mitzvah, like Rashi, that I want to go ahead and it's for the sake of the mitzvah. So then I'm better off possibly with handmade, because then there's no doubt whether, you know, I don't have to get a machine involved or not. Although many poskim say that machine is no different than, let's say, using a roller to roll the thing. It's just as long as the person who presses the button, has intent, so that counts as intent. But if the idea is l'shem mitzvah, so then I can get out of the machlokas and I'll just be safe and I'll use handmade matzah. But if the idea is to guard it from chametz, so then very possibly you're better off with machine-made shmorah matzah, because the much less of a chance that the machine is going to make a mistake, especially with our modern day machinery, than a human being. Taut enosh, people make mistakes, and therefore possibly better to stay with machine. And the truth is, there are many poskim that only use handmade matzah, but there are many poskim that only use machine matzah. For instance, Rav Rabinovich of Malei Adumim, I heard this from his grandson. One Pesach, he opened up a handmade matzah box, and he saw that one of the matzahs was kind of folded over, which can be a very big problem. Not only that it was folded over, but it was clear that it didn't cook enough because it was still soft. And he was terrified. He took the whole box of matzah and he flushed it down the toilet, and he made a vow to himself never to have handmade matzah in his house again. And he only uses machine-made shmorah matzah for Leil Seder. And I believe Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach also is makbid to only use machine-made matzah for the same reason, because there's less of a concern that it became it came to chimutz. Okay, those are two paradigms in terms of what shmir is. I want to read together another Rambam, because if we think about this opinion of the Rambam in the Rif, it kind of puts a big question. And let's look at this. The Rambam in source number 10, when he goes over exactly how the Seder night is supposed to be at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah in Perek Chet, source number 10, the Rambam says as such: Mi she'ein lo matzah mishumeret ela kezayit. A person only has one kezayit of shmor matzah. I don't know what today what that means. I don't know a box. I don't know how you calculate your own kezayit. But whatever the case, he only has a kezayit of shmor matzah. What should he do? Kishegomer sudato mi matzah she'einu mishumeret. So Rambam says, go ahead and eat your rest of your suda. You're going to have your whole meal. Have your regular non-shmura matzah. U'mevarech al achilat matzah. Ve'ochol oto kezayit ve'eno tom acharav klum. So he says, eat your entire... And at the end, you should go ahead and have a kezayit, your kezayit of shmura matzah. Namely, save your shmura matzah for the afikomen. In the Rambam's opinion, that afikomen is the mitzvah of matzah d'oraita on Leil Seder, so go ahead and guard it, save it for the end. A question which bothers many Rishonim and Achroim is, one second, if the whole idea, the matzah that I had the whole entire Seder, was that chametz? Clearly not. Clearly, I know that the regular matzah that I'm having throughout the Seder and throughout all the Pesach is not chametz, otherwise they wouldn't be allowed to go ahead and have it. Right? We see already from the Gemara, Rav Huna said that you're allowed to go ahead and take this dough from the non-Jews, and it's clear that dough is not chametz, otherwise for sure you're not allowed to have it on Pesach. Yet I still need this idea of shmura matzah for my kezayit on Leil Seder. So, but if I already know my matzah is not chametz, so then why do I have to go ahead and... What's this whole idea of shmura, of making now more sure that it's not chametz for my kezayit of matzah? Why doesn't my regular matzah, which I know isn't chametz, why doesn't that suffice? Right? Does everyone understand the question? Why? What is this extra shmirah that all of a sudden I need for the mitzvah of matzah? If I already know that it's not chametz. All my regular matzah is obviously not chametz. Why do I need this extra mitzvah of shmura matzah to go ahead and make sure that it's not chametz? So this question bothers many. I want to suggest an idea. I heard it in the name of the Or Sameach. Although I've searched and I've never found it inside. If anybody knows where that Or Sameach is, it's not here. I'll tell you that much. I don't know where the Or Sameach is. Anyways, whether the Or Sameach said it or not, I think it's a beautiful idea. Let's say it's a Chol Hamoed Pesach, and you go ahead and you have your regular matzah, your non-shmura matzah, and lo and behold, it happens, you find out that it is chametz. So you're not going to be, there's an idea of onus patra rachmana Hashem, so to speak. You're not responsible for an onus, for something that was out of your control. So here, it's not your fault. You did everything that you could. You went by the regular rules of Isser v'Heter in terms of majority and all the different rules. And you had every right, according to Halacha, to assume the matzah that you had on Chol HaMoed was not chametz. Afterwards, you find out, after 120, you find out that it was chametz. Okay, Hashem is not going to hold you accountable for eating that chametz, because you did everything that you needed to, that you're required to, according to Halacha, to make sure that wasn't chametz. Now, let's say a person finds out after 120 that the matzah that he had on Leil Seder was not Shmura matzah. It was not matzah at all. It was chametz. Okay? Does he fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Leil Seder? And as difficult as it is, the answer is no, he's not. He didn't have matzah. He had chametz. If a person gets his tefillin checked after 20 years and he opens up his tefillin and he finds out that there's no parshiyot written inside, these aren't tefillin. It was just empty boxes for the last 20 years. So it's very sad. It's very sad. And you know, we're not going to hold him responsible for nullifying the mitzvah of tefillin. It wasn't his fault. He had every right to assume that the tefillin were kosher. But did he fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin for the past 20 years? And the answer is clearly no. He did not fulfill the mitzvah. It's sad, and he did not fulfill the mitzvah. The idea of onus patra rachmana, that Hashem doesn't hold us accountable, that's when it comes to isurim. You're not held accountable for being over a prohibition if you did everything that you were meant to or held accountable for. But you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah. When it comes to mitzvot, so here we see the Rambam saying for the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Seder, don't go ahead. The Torah is saying, v'shamartem et ha-matzot, don't go ahead and rely on the regular klalim, the regular rules of Isser v'Heter, of majority and nullification and all these things. Don't rely on that. Go above and beyond and make sure that you're going to fulfill the mitzvah properly. Make sure that it's not chametz. The regular rest of Pesach, you can go ahead and you can rely on all of the general rules. But when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Seder, be extra, extra careful. I think this idea applies more so today. I think we have a new idea of this as we enter with this corona into Pesach. In general, theoretically, it could be that there's more of a chance of you know, lo aleinu, somebody dying in a car accident or from the flu or from any things, and we don't hold ourselves back from getting into a car, even though there's more people die from car accidents every year. And the idea is because shomer patayim Hashem, things that are normal that we don't have to go crazy about. So even though, yes, getting to a car is dangerous, but we rely on the regular way of life. You don't have to go crazy over everything. And therefore, we get into cars and we continue getting into cars. But Hashem is now giving us a nisayon where we're not allowed to basically run our lives based on the regular rules of Shomer Petayim Hashem. We're talking about something, an epidemic for the entire world. And therefore, it's the idea of shmura matzah, of being extra stringent, even though generally we rely on the regular rules, just like we have to be extra stringent with the shmura matzah of Leil Seder, so too, when it comes to this epidemic, we're not relying on the regular rules. We're going above and beyond, not just to protect ourselves, but to protect everybody, protect the elderly, to protect those with compromised immune systems, and to keep our medical institutions afloat. So this idea of shmura sometimes can apply to other aspects of our lives as well. And those again are the two paradigms we saw of shmura matzah, that of either it's the shame mitzvah, you have to go ahead and give it the added intent for the mitzvah, or the shame matzah to keep it from coming to chimutz.